Back with the story, behind the story, behind the recipe. We're with Heather Atwood, and once again at the Pleasant Street Tea Company. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Rick.
I like this venue here with a little music in the background.
Jazz music, yeah, I like that.
And, you know, it's appropriate, but what's the topic for today?
Well, I'm going to start with recipes. I have two recipes for a fish called dabs.
It's a what?
Dabs. They're like a flounder. They are a flounder.
D-A-B?
D-A-B, mm-hmm. Yeah, and the plural is dabs, mm-hmm. D-A-B-S. And it's a flounder, and it is caught a lot off the coast of Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. The fishing fleet in Gloucester lands many thousands of pounds of dabs, and they are my favorite fish right now. But I'm going to tell you about the recipe because I have sort of a moral tale to tell that goes with it.
Okay, so now the recipe, is this a recipe that you create, you found, or let's get to that?
Okay, there are two recipes for dabs, mm-hmm. because I love this fish so much. One, I sort of...
I've never heard of it, dabs, and it's flounder-like.
It is flounder, okay. And it's so delicate and so mild. Okay. You would love it, because
it's white.
It is just so pure and mild, and it's really versatile.
Okay.
So I adapted one recipe from Jamie Oliver. Do you know who Jamie Oliver is?
I have a relative named Jamie Oliver, but I doubt it's the same.
Jamie Oliver has been this like heartthrob chef in London for like 15 or 20 years.
Okay.
And he's a really charismatic guy who has been also promoting healthy food in schools and things like that. So this is a Thai steamed dab recipe. You make this beautiful, very aromatic rice, put it in the bottom of a roasting pan, layer the fish on top of that, and sprinkle it with more aromatic cilantro, chilies, mm-hmm. lime. There's coconut milk in there, and then you bake it. It's very easy, and it's really delicious.
All right, so the story behind the story, tell me about this chef and how you got onto that, this guy, or how did you find out about this celebrity chef or follow him or see him on TV or whatever?
Oh, well, the story behind that story is I fell in love with Jamie Oliver with my husband standing right next to me. I was like, oh, my gosh, this guy is so cute.
Oh, no.
He was a young chef in the mid-1990s in London. Mm-hmm. And he actually does have a really good story because he was not a chef. He was a kid on the streets. And there was a very famous restaurant there called in London called the River Cafe. It was run by two women who had gone to Italy and brought back this really, really artisanal, pure Italian cooking to London. That was not happening in London at that point. And Jamie Oliver got a job in their kitchen. That was it.
Really?
Off the streets, basically, mm-hmm. right? The BBC came into the River Cafe kitchen to do a television show. And Jamie Oliver was so fabulous on camera that they basically said, who is this kid? We're making him a star. And that was it. And Jamie Oliver is very, very humble because he is a wealthy man now. He's had television shows, many, many cookbooks. He has an empire. But he is very humble about the fact that that happened,
That's amazing. He
did not know what he was doing. And these two women took him in, and he owes everything to them, really.
Now, that's a great story. See, that's what this is. That is. That's what it's all about. All right. So let's get back to dabs and fish.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the Jamie Oliver adapted dab recipe. I think Jamie Oliver uses sea bass in his recipe, and I'm using these dabs. But I have a second recipe, which is very, I hate to say New England, it's just layered fish with breadcrumbs and a butter that has mustard, lemon, and Worcestershire in it. Mm-hmm. And it's really to just highlight the beauty of this fish. It's breadcrumbs and butter, really, and it is so delicate and delicious. So both of those are on my blog. But the story behind those dabs is me wanting to encourage people when they dine out in any restaurant and they see fish on the menu, mm-hmm. ask your server what boat landed that fish. Don't just ask them where it came from or what it's like. Ask them what fishing vessel landed that fish because they should be able to tell you. And if they can't tell you, there's a problem. It's all about transparency.
Are we putting waitstaff on the defensive here when we do that? How do you do that sort of politely? I know when my wife goes to buy fish or we go to a restaurant, she'll just say, is it wild fish? Is it fresh fish?
Well, the point is that restaurants know what they're doing. They know when they're ordering cheap imported fish. They know exactly what they're doing. And they don't want anyone to know that that is cheap imported fish. When they're ordering fish in the right way, they also know what they're doing. And they're proud of that fact. Okay. I had lunch in a chain restaurant in downtown Boston. It's called Hillstone. I think there are like five of them around the country. And this place was mobbed. It's right in the financial district. It was filled with business people. And there was a lot of fish on the menu. And I said to the waitress very politely, I know you are so busy, but can I just ask you a really uncomfortable question? Mm-hmm. And she was like, yeah. And I said, can you tell me, do you know anything about where this fish comes from? And she stood up straight and she grinned and she said, yes, I do. And she told me exactly where every single fish on that menu was, not the fishing vessel that was caught, landed it, but where it came from and how it was fished.
Sure.
So that restaurant says, we are proud of the fish we're serving. And the thing is, so they're teaching their staff.
Right.
So everybody should be doing that. Because I have to add, if you don't know, if they can't answer that question, the horrors are big.
Well, I was going to get back into that because I know last week you did mention some farm fish that were that feed on some pretty nasty stuff.
Exactly. So if you can't, if a restaurant cannot say where that fish came from, it could be fish that came from the slave trade, or it could be fish that's fed with animal waste. I mean, that's real. That's mm-hmm. not just hyperbole. Mm-hmm. That's very real. I know. Eye roll.
Okay. Yeah, the eye roll. Okay. Now, broaching another topic here, you have hinted several times that you're working on a second cookbook, and how's that coming along, or are you allowed to talk about it?
Yeah, I think I'm allowed to talk about it because this cookbook is based on something called Seafood Throwdowns. And the first Seafood Throwdown of the season will be this Sunday at the Boston Public Market. It starts at 1 o'clock. And I'm sure there are a lot of people who do not know what a seafood throwdown is, like you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So a seafood throwdown usually happens in a farmer's market. There are two chefs and each of them has a little kitchen. It's usually two gas burners and a gas grill. And there's an MC and there are judges. So the two chefs are competing against each other. And at the top of the hour, a fisherman shows up and he has the mystery fish. So suddenly these chefs know, okay, we're cooking with dabs, or we're cooking with skate, or we're cooking with monkfish. Mm-hmm. And then they're given $25 and 15 minutes to shop in that local farmer's market. So are you hearing the word local mm-hmm. there a lot? So mm-hmm. it's about local fish and local food.
Okay.
So an audience starts gathering around, and because people love a cooking show, and that's what this is. Mm-hmm. And for the next hour, these two chefs are creating beautiful dishes out of this underutilized species.
Okay, the story behind the recipe. Where'd you hear about that? Where'd you learn about Seafood Throwdown?
So I first learned about a Seafood Throwdown at the Cape Ann Farmers Market, I think 7 years ago. It was when it was in the Harbor Loop, and I walked by and I said, what is going on there? Just like everybody else. That's how everyone learns. And what I learned from there is that the Seafood Throwdown is sponsored by an organization called NAMA, the Northwest Atlantic Marine Alliance. And their mission is to promote small local boats, to get people purchasing fish by catch, get people to stop thinking that cod and salmon and tuna are the only fish in the sea, get people thinking about other fish, because if these local fishermen can sell this fish that they do catch, they catch a lot of this fish, and if they can get a good price for it, they don't have to overfish haddock.
You said Northwest?
Northwest. Isn't that funny?
Yes.
So it's Northwest because that's the perspective of the ocean. If you're gauging...
The Atlantic Ocean.
The Atlantic Ocean. Right. If you're going from the Atlantic's perspective, it's the western side
right.
of the Atlantic.
Well, yeah. Looking from satellite, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Once again, my head is spinning. So this is at the Boston... I thought you said the Boston Library, Public Library, but it's the Boston...
Public Market.
Where is that?
The Boston Public Market is... I don't know the exact street address, but it's near Haymarket. It's like the old... the Haymarket subway stop.
Okay.
That area right there.
All right. And you're going to that?
I will be there, and I will be... So my cookbook will be documenting the recipes from all the seafood throwdowns around the country this summer.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. That's Heather Atwood with the story behind the recipe with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.